Alrighty, everybody, we're gonna get going. Oh, yep. And once again, it looks like nobody wants to sit in the front row. That's kind of a trend over here. Alright, so last time, as you know, we kind of tried to unpack a big picture on biblical fellowship last semester. Now we're kind of diving in a little deeper, getting really practical, and helping you guys learn how to kind of up the level of fellowship that you can do with whomever it is that you've developed a level of trust with, where that would seem appropriate with. And so first thing we want you guys to do is to split up into groups of three, no families together. And I'd love for you guys to just introduce yourselves to each other, briefly share time when you were somewhere new, so somewhere you had never been before, and briefly share what was it like trying to communicate with people in that new environment. So just think of a new environment that you had never been to, first time you show up, what was it like trying to communicate with them? So once again, if we could split the couples up, split the twins up, split the families up, and if we could just get into groups of three real fast, spend a couple minutes doing this. All right, now I feel like the party pooper interrupting this great conversations we're having to do a little learning here. Let's keep going. So one of my roles and what I do during the week is I'm an executive coach, or some people call I do some life coaching, a variety of different coaching. And one of the things that often coaches get ribbed about is we're always trying to encourage our clients to set goals. And so what we want to do is we want to think of a goal that we want to have by the end of this semester. And one of the things that we want you to hone in on is a specific type of fellowship goal. And we're trying to do this with baby steps, not to freak anybody out with the level of trust here. So we're trying to come up with a safer list of things that could be your goal. Megan Coe, who she and I work together, she came up with this list here. So one is start a conversation with someone each Sunday. Super ambitious, but try to find somebody there. Invite someone to coffee. Man, we're stepping up the trust level there. Share a part of your story that feels slightly risky, but with someone you trust. So you already have some level of trust with that person, just sharing it. Introduce myself to someone new. Easier for extroverts than for introverts, typically. Become a better listener, easier for introverts than it is for extroverts, typically. Share more about myself in an appropriate way so others can know me better. And the last one is ask more questions, right? So it's just you're getting into a conversation with someone, you're going to start getting your curiosity up and just ask questions about what you think. Now let's go back to groups of three, but I think we have a bunch of tables with four, so we can actually combine them to make groups of three. And I'd love for you guys to set one goal that you're going to have. So if you want to jump in with either these ladies here, because then we'll have three over here, or however it works best for you guys. We're going to take 8 minutes each. I mean, not 8 minutes each, 8 minutes in total, or else we're going to run out. Yes, sir.
Are you saying the goal is the group?
No, your individual goal. What's your fellowship goal? What's your personal individual goal? Yep, I am going to flip right back. Yep. You could borrow any of these, or you can make up one of your own. Go for it. Oh, and I forgot to say, you have a handout with these on there. Once you've chosen a goal, please write it in your handout, and I'll explain why you're going to write it in a second. All righty, let's get back to this. Let's get back to this. I hope everybody's written down one goal, because we want to use that one goal for the rest of today's session. So let's come back here. As you know, we looked at some obstacles to biblical fellowship. They're in your handout on the top. And I just wanted to go through them pretty fast again. So one of the top ones is, I don't need it. And so it's a very common one. My life is going okay. You know, why do I really need it? Do I really need to be vulnerable with anybody? And unfortunately, there's a bunch of scriptures that talk about that. So, second, fear of being known. If you really know me, are you still going to like me? I don't know that. That's a big risk. I don't know that I want to take that risk. Third one, not really knowing how to be appropriately vulnerable. So depending on the person, some of it could just be because of shyness, or some of it could be because you have one of those bigger stories, and whenever you've shared even a piece of that bigger story, people tend to get a little squeamish. We need to learn how to do that. Another one is not really know how to guide a connection, conversation and connect to people. Another one is fear of a lack of confidentiality. How do I know that you won't blab my stuff to everybody at the church or at work or wherever it is, the context that we're in? Next, logistics. Where do you actually find these people that we could actually do this with? Good night. Who knows where they are? We're not going to look around this room, are we, for that? But another one, lack of time. I'm just way too busy. I mean, this fellowship thing, this is like a sacrifice and a half. I'm not going to just be able to do that. Another one is past wounding and lack of forgiveness. This is typically the biggest one when we dig in and dig in and dig in. It's somewhere there was relational hurt. And so now we're afraid of setting ourselves up again. And because we haven't fully forgiven that relational hurt, oftentimes we then try to, as C.S. Lewis says, encase our hearts so that nobody can get to them. But in the process, we're really doing damage to ourselves and others. Next one, comparison. So this is a big one. Oftentimes when we're struggling with shame or even different forms of anxiety or things like that, we live in a world of comparisons. This person's better than me in this, and so I feel down. Or we try to find ways to prop ourselves up. The joke in our household is, trying to have a certain type of righteousness. So, you know, we call it, like, if the kids are fighting for the front seat of the car, it's front seat righteousness. And who can get that front seat is like the most righteous one, you know? So we can go in either way when we're doing this comparison thing. Typically it's built on shame or social anxiety or something along that line. And the biggest thing that I really want you all to hear is, since all of us have a unique call that only we can do, that takes all of our strengths, all of our weaknesses, all of our successes, and all of our failures, literally there's no way we can compare ourselves to somebody else, because no one else can do that part of advancing the kingdom except for you. And that's how God made you, as the potter, and we being the clay. Next one, competitiveness. So shaming and social aggression. So sometimes this shows up in one-upping in the stories. Like somebody says something, they say, oh, yeah? And then you kind of take the story to a whole other level. So sometimes we're afraid to do that because we get a little competitive. Last one is sometimes what happens is within a couple, within a marriage, sometimes what we see is that one person may feel more open to share, the other one feel less open to share. And oftentimes the one who feels more open to share often will withhold, in part because they're afraid of the impact on the spouse and vice versa. And so it's a kind of thing that we have to kind of grow in. So now let's look, this is going to take us through literally the rest of today. What I'd love for you guys to do is in your groups, each of you, let's take 10 minutes to discuss what obstacles are in the way to getting that goal. And then the other two people, or in some cases three people, what I'd love for you to do is really up your curiosity, really start to listen to understand versus listening to reply, really go for what's the essence of what they're saying. When you hear something that sounds emotional, empathize, so feel what they feel. Sometimes we could do that just by remembering a time we felt something similar. Ask clarifying questions if something isn't clear. And then if all else fails, you could actually give some advice, if all else fails. But hopefully if we did the first part well, the person's going to solve it on their own. But we're going to do this very fast experiment here. We're going to take just a few minutes to discuss the goal. I'll leave them up here. And let's kind of work through it. You could use one of these obstacles if that's one of yours, or if there's something that we haven't listed, please feel free to use that. And if you could just let me know what you use if it's not on this list, because we're hoping to recycle this and share this stuff with other churches. So if you can just dive in on it. And basically what we just want to do is talk about the obstacles towards attaining the goal. What's it like feeling it like it is an obstacle? What's it doing to you? And we're going to kind of ride this out. So if we have groups of 3 and 4, let's actually try to do this in a little bit less time because I know Jerry's got something tonight. So let's, if everybody can take no more than 7 minutes, that would be great. And I'll put it back up. What obstacle is in the way of the goal you wrote down?
Can we have more than one?
Yep. Most people have more than one obstacle. Most people have more than one. So what are the obstacles that you have? Yeah, so with number 11, sometimes a couple can kind of become very insular. And it's often because one of the two is really afraid to share anything, and so the other one just kind of joins it. And then what happens is they don't share with anyone, and they kind of become their own little bubble. And so, like, nobody really knows what's going on in that marriage, nor will they ever tell you what's going on in that marriage. And it's not necessarily that something really bad's happening in the marriage. It's just they're very walled off and closed off. And then they believe that's the right thing to do. Shouldn't I just be sharing things with my wife or my husband, and that's it? But unfortunately, we don't see that in Scripture. Yep, thanks. Hey guys, one more thing I forgot to say. I forgot that we added this to this week and not next week. These can be questions that you guys can go through now if you want to. So you have the list of obstacles on the handout. And then what you could just go through are these any one of these 5 questions. Which obstacles, including ones not listed, are most often inhibit your fellowship? What's your number one obstacle? Describe in as much detail as possible an example of when that obstacle appears. What do you feel? What do you do? What are you thinking? In the ideal world, if you could just snap your fingers and make everything solved, how would you address the situation and describe it differently? And then this one is the key one that I especially wanted us to get to today, which is what tiny action, so something that takes less than a minute to do, something that's a layup, it's so easy. What tiny action could you take to move towards that ideal in number 3? What big action could you slowly work towards? And the last one is, if you can get a feel for what beliefs might be holding you back from achieving your ideal, go for that. So still, we're doing 7 minutes. Yes, you guys are really being pushed. Yes, you may not get through all 5 questions. Yes, we're going to do the best we got. We're setting it up. Go for it. Let's be wrapping up. Before we close, because I know you guys got to get, some of you guys got to get to choir practice. Are there any questions? Some people came up with a new one for the list, which was just confidence in doing it. If any of you guys came up with any other ones, please let me know. But first, I want to answer any questions. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so what to do with the inner introvert that's holding us back? So the greatest thing about introverts is, the thing about it is that the way typically introverts do fellowship is they typically do it with fewer people and they go deeper. And so the idea is that sometimes somebody who's kind of more introverted, what you want to find is just one or two people that you're really going to invest in. And then you can count on the larger corporate worship to be the more general time of fellowship. And so it's more targeted. Whereas us extroverts will start with anybody, so look out. What other questions? Yes? Yeah, that's awesome. Adjusting to a new environment, just getting the lay of the land. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And actually, what I've been finding is the same is true in reverse. So I came from a Redeemer Presbyterian church, which at one point was like 5,000. Going to a church of 300 was probably what your guys are experiencing in the reverse. Yeah. Awesome one. Anyone else? Any questions? Yes, sir.
Can you talk Can you sometimes hear too much? I remember being with the Promise Keepers.
Yeah.
That is against the pornography.
Right.
I remember sitting at a table, and some of these guys, they would tell all this intricate stuff that I wish I wouldn't hear.
Yeah. Some of us are still too young.
So you got to be very careful that you have a good relationship.
Yeah.
Before you really share your intimate.
That's it. So one of the things we always want to be careful is we want to have appropriate sharing and make sure that it matches the level of trust that we already have. Sometimes as Christians, we want to say, oh, we're believers. We're going to be we're going to be in heaven together, so we can work it out then if we have to. But the reality is that it does affect the present day a lot if we overshare or if we go into way too many details. So there's certain parts of my job that I no longer do, not because my client shared inappropriately, but because I can't get the images out of my head of what they shared. And so I just kind of closed it off after a while. I was starting to dream about it. I was starting to like, and I normally don't take it home like that, but it was just something I just never would have thought of. So yeah, for sure. So we just want to make sure we share in appropriate ways. Any other questions? These are fantastic. And if not, I'm going to ask Carlton if you wouldn't mind closing us.
Our Father and our God, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to get to know one another, to learn how to listen, to learn how to love one another, how to enjoy our fellowship in Christ more. Father, we pray that we would be relaxed, interested, loving, patient, forgiving Christians with one another. And we pray that we would reflect the character of our Lord, who knows us intimately and yet loves us with an abounding and infinite steadfast love. Lord, would you bless each one here? Thank you for Ryan's instruction. Pray that it would be a blessing in our own lives during the week and would make a meaningful impact in our fellowship here at Westminster. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.